Well, it seems like we're having a little technical difficulty. So, everyone, welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed in San Antonio. And right now, I am currently not joined by neither Craig or Couture, but I'm getting a number with all one, so I think I'll take that number. I think I might know who it would be. Caller, calling in, who's this?
Train all day. Joe Rogan podcast all night. All day.
Fuck Joe Rogan. My podcast is way better, and I can smoke way more weed than Joe Rogan ever could.
You can't smoke more weed than Joe Rogan, son? That's blasphemy.
Man, you sound kind of weird there. What's going on? You sound like you're like
I don't
in a
know.
Fishbowl or something.
I'm on Skype.
You have your headset on?
Yeah, I have my headset on. I don't know. This is the way I've always done it.
All right, well, I guess it'll be okay.
I'm going to go into the bedroom, see if there's less echo in there.
Yeah, that might help.
So we'll
now I'm finally being joined by one of my other co-hosts. Craig, what's going on, Craig?
Hey, what's happening? Sorry about that.
No problem. Couture's going to be a little late, so hopefully he'll be here within 20 or so minutes. But
well, what's he doing? What's he got to do? He's got to watch a NASCAR race or something?
He's doing something at work, and all I know that it involves some really gross shit that I really don't want to get into.
Why? Where does he work? Penn State?
Ooh.
Almost as bad. I was going to say, it's a good thing Penn State wasn't in Florida. Did they... All right, I've been having even before you got on, Craig, I've been having difficulties with this switchboard tonight. So
that's good.
It's going to be a very weird show.
Well, that's why, I figured I had like an extra minute before, the music cut out and whatever. So I wasn't really late then, was I?
I guess not, because the music did not kick in at all when the show started. But anyway.
I got a question real fast. Is it over the top radio or over the top rope radio?
Over the top radio.
So no rope.
No rope.
Yeah, no rope.
But
okay.
Ed does always hang himself on the show, though.
I know. I've been on it before.
Right.
Yeah, and then I get guys crying and tattletaling on me on 3 or 4 dailies.
Mm-hmm. Well, he only no-showed our show one time.
Twice. Oh, no, he did it twice, actually.
He didn't go into detail on he no-showed our show twice, 2 weeks in a row, and phone dies...
Who are we talking about?
Gabe Sapolsky.
Oh.
To make matters worse, when your phone dies, it just goes straight to voicemail. This thing rang and rang and rang, so...
And
whatever.
Caused me to have to hang up from the whole show to disconnect from him and then have to call back in. That show was a mess. Anyway, I guess you didn't hear the 3 or 4 daily with Gabe Sapolsky that came out yesterday, Peach.
I heard the first one he did, and that was so boring. I couldn't sit through another hour of Gabe crying about internet pirating. So I just said, fuck it.
At the end of the second one, he telltales on me to Brian that I'm mean to him and talk shit to him.
All the time.
Well, you
all the time.
You do that to everybody. You tell them to get over it.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Hope he feels better. You know, it's like he told the principal on me. But anyway, what time did you actually tell Harry we were going to call?
I gave him the number to call in, and I talked to him this morning. He said he'd be good to go at 9 o'clock. I just sent him a text, so any second you should be getting a phone call from him. So that is the plan. Until then, I was wondering if we were going to talk about any news. I just got a text back. Said, okay, give me a couple of minutes. He's probably masturbating, and when he uses his left hand, it takes a little bit longer.
I saw a picture of him on Facebook with him and Batista. Yeah, I guess they were at Batista's gym. And not that long ago, you sent me a text of a picture of of Batista. So I guess you worked out at his gym?
Yeah. We went down. It's called Gracie Tampa Fighter, something. Yeah, and it's real close to where I used to live down in Tampa, and it is an awesome school. It's fully, full cage, full MMA gear, huge wrestling area. It's awesome. It's a great facility. It's only a couple months old, and yeah, Big Dave owns it, and he's got some great coaches underneath him. Josh Rafferty does his MMA training. He was on this season one of Ultimate Fighter. He does the stand-up stuff, and he's got Harry down there working out, training for his pro debut, whenever that will be. He's got Dave. Dave's just pretty much down there, learning, I think. That's pretty much the main deal. And he's got, I can't remember the guy's name, Matias something. He's a Gracie fighter. He does the jiu-jitsu. It's an awesome facility, man. It was a lot of fun. And I think Loki just started training there, too, so...
Loki was one of those guys in the class of
Davey Richards and whatnot, and if MMA would have been popular 5 years earlier, he definitely would have gone into that and would have been an ass kicker. Instead, he went the less lucrative route of professional wrestling. And, now they are where they are today. So, timing.
Anyways, Craig, what's been going on with you? What's been happening?
Oh, just work. I am so busy at work right now. It's ridiculous.
You work with Joe Paterno? Is that where you work?
I'm sorry?
You work with Joe Paterno?
No, I don't. If I was his lawyer, I'd be, obviously working overtime. just buried in work, and I wasn't on the show last week. My grandfather was getting out of the hospital, and he's got Alzheimer's, and he can't, lay down, or he can't sit up. And, just family drama. But, other than that, hanging in there.
Hey, Pete.
Yeah.
Do me a favor, man. Yeah. Hang up and call in, and maybe we'll get a little better connection.
Yeah, you're massively loud.
Say it again. What do you want me to do?
I said, go ahead and hang up and call right back in so we can see if you can get a better connection because you're, really.
Oh, all right. All right. We'll do.
Okay, cool. Hurry up, man. We ain't got all day. So anyway, Craig, did you get invited to Granny's party?
Nah, it's all good.
Did you just didn't go or you weren't invited?
I wasn't invited and I didn't go.
Well, you should post that on her wall and give her a guilt trip.
I don't care. It's not my grandmother. I have enough family functions I need to go to. I'm not going to involve Brian's family in my family functions as well.
I wouldn't either. He's kind of a jerk. We're getting a call from apparently Skype again, so hopefully it's Peach again. So, Peach, are you there?
Yeah, is this better?
A little bit better.
All right. When Harry calls in, I'm going to let you guys pretty much run the show, so I won't say much. So...
Okay, well, I think we are getting another call here from area code 813, caller, who is this?
This is Harry Smith.
Harry, how are you doing today?
Doing fabulous. How are you guys?
Very good.
We're doing very well.
Hey, I've got an intro for this
feeling
guy,
the
Ed.
Chi? Good.
Harry, my man, thanks for calling in, brother. I'm glad you could make it in.
Hey, not a
what
problem.
What time is it in Tampa?
It's 9 p.m.
9 p.m., okay, all right. It's noon over here in Guam. You're on Over the Top Radio with Ed in San Antonio and Craig. So we've been hosting, these two, Ed and I started this radio show about 3 years ago. I dropped out when I realized, you know, Ed was just holding me down. And I let Craig go with the brains. So we're back for I'm back for a one time only because I wanted to make sure you got to get on the show now that you're free of the reins of WWE.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. You know, yeah, like you said, Big D, you gotta branch off and do your own thing, right?
We talked a little bit about your MMA gym or where you've been training down with Batista. Give us the name of that school and what's going on all down there. I couldn't remember the exact name.
Yeah, for sure. I'll give you some info on that. Batista, he originally wanted to open up a school just privately for himself or just a gym. And then he decided that it'd be better to, you know, leave it open to the public to, you know, make money and have other people training there. So it's been a really great thing, you know. It's funny how the way things work in life. As soon as I got, you know, sort of fired from WWE or my release, he had, you know, basically just had opened up his school. So, you know, one door closes and another one opens. And, you know, I'm sure, Viggity, you know, we had trained together before, you know, a year or two ago before I got my release from WWE. And mixed martial arts has been a big career on my mind for quite some time now. And something that I really wanted to give it a shot. At the same time, I didn't necessarily want to quit with the WWE, but, you know, I was looking at it as another option. And there was not a whole lot going on there. And when they finally did grant me and give me my release, you know, it was a good thing. So, you know, I'm looking forward to what's new, what's for the future for Harry Smith and mixed martial arts. Dave Batista's Gracie Fighter School. It's affiliated with Cesar Gracie. Mateus Andre is the head instructor for jiu-jitsu. He's a black belt under Cesar Gracie. And Josh Rafferty is the MMA coach.
Harry, how far off do you think you are from having your first fight? Like, how much time do you think you need to put in before you actually get in the cage?
You know, that's kind of a question that's up in the air. I want to continue to work on my stand-up skills. Just get those. You know, I'm a heavy-handed puncher, which is really good, and good leg kicks. But I want to work more on my flexibility. I need to work more on, you know, head movement, footwork. So it's not quite there yet with the stand-up. It is improving. It's, you know, improving at a good rate, actually, which everybody's happy about, including myself. So, you know, it could be another 6 months. It may be another year. I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, it could be like 4 months. You know, we get a fight and we decide on it. We say, hey, you know, 4 months out, 3 months out, this is what we're going to – here's training camp starts. I've been, you know, training every week, at least 4 or 5 days a week for mixed martial arts when I'm not, you know, doing little shows here and there. Wrestling in Japan. So, you know, it's kind of a question up in the air. We're not exactly sure. Just want to get the stand-up skills 100%. And we've played around with some different weights, like ideas. But I think the main thing is that whatever weight we land at, and I'm, you know, really tip-top shape, that's probably going to be the weight I can fight at, you know. And if I got to drop another 10 pounds, that's no big deal. You know, you can do that in the sauna in a couple days or whatever. So, we did toy around with 205 idea, but that might be a little much at a 6'4" you know, in a large frame. So, maybe 240 or 265 we're toying around with. So we're just getting all the skills together. Could be 6 months or a year. I'd say definitely sometime next year though.
Very cool.
Go ahead, Craig.
I got to see you wrestle. I live up in the Seattle area, and I got to see you wrestle for Pinnacle.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, that's where I first went up to train with Josh Barnett 5-6 years ago.
Right, and
at Pancration. Yeah.
Right. You actually had one of the matches I saw you in was actually in the gym that you works in. And do you remember wrestling in the junkyard?
Yes, I do. Very fond memories of it. Oh, man, I remember the promoter Cecil Reed first brought me there, and I said, We pulled in and there was this junkyard. I said, what the hell? Are we going to get whacked out here or something? Is this a mafia's freaking junkyard or something?
Right.
No, yeah, I do remember that. Yeah, actually, I think my very last independent wrestling show was for going to WWE was for Pinnacle at the Super Mall or whatever.
Yeah, and you wrestled TJ.
Yeah, that's right. And Skag Rollins or whatever his name was.
Yeah, it was a great match.
Oh, thank you.
Also, do you remember wrestling my good friend Buddy Wayne?
Yes, I do.
In Vancouver.
Shoot, Kelowna. It was Kelowna.
Okay.
Vancouver was Andy Anderson. Kelowna was, yeah.
My bad.
2003? 2004? No, 2003,
right.
Sorry. Yeah, that's right. Missile
right.
Dropkick, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, dark match. Yes, I do remember that. How's he doing? Is he got back surgery or something, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he had back surgery, but he's actually training guys in his little gym out in the back of his place, and he's doing very well.
Oh, he's doing
good.
Okay, good. Tell him I said hi.
Yeah, he had back surgery, and he had open heart surgery.
Oh, shoot. I did not know
probably
that.
Probably 2 years ago, Ed?
Oh, wow. Was that 2 years ago?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Well.
He had... had some problems with he had some kind of a blood disease from the back surgery, as I remember, and they had to crack him open, but he's doing much better now.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Now, Harry, of course, even though you were just on WWE TV, you're probably forever going to be known more famous for being known as the son of the British Bulldog, David Boy Smith, and
yep.
I was wondering. I'm sure you watched him as a kid. Do you actually remember when you decided you wanted to be wrestling, or do you think it's just something that you decided on even before you had any memory of?
Yeah, it was pretty much that. You know, it was something that I decided on before I can even remember, and always something that I knew I was going to do. You know, I mean, not that. It's funny how the way things worked out that I've gone into mixed martial arts, but I think that, I could go back into pro wrestling after my mixed martial arts career, and it could, I have sort of a certain character I want to come back to pro wrestling as with after my mixed martial arts, but I might just stick with mixed martial arts. It's something that I think is sort of in my blood, too. You know, my grandfather was a great catch and amateur wrestler as well and loved submission wrestling, so it's something that's kind of... I guess in the bloodline, I guess, and there's no doubt in my mind that if my grandfather was in his prime right now, he'd be doing mixed martial arts as well. So it's kind of funny how it's gone, So looking forward to it all.
Now, growing up when you're very very young, breaking in as a teenager, I mean, how much pressure did you actually feel being, the son of the British Bulldog and also the grandson of Stu Hart?
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of pressure. The pressure was always good pressure, though, always made me inspire, work harder, even today, like nowadays, And that was always something that I kind of was disappointed in with WWE when, towards the end, when they just weren't doing anything with me or, and they had me sitting down in FCW for a while. And it was like, I'm 6'4", 6'5", 265 now. But, I'm a really good athlete, great, good wrestler. I can shoot, wrestle, and I'm doing that now. And, I thought that I was always a pretty capable hand in the ring. And I always thought, why is the British Bulldog's son, myself, why is he sitting on the sidelines? Well, everybody else is getting ahead or what, and I'm not sure if that's because there was somebody kind of up top that was maybe backstabbing me. I don't want to be pointing any fingers or anything like that, but that was always something where I always thought of as, I got the family lineage, and I can back it all up too. And, that was something like, why isn't the British Bulldog son doing it? And I had to, all the, credentials and tools to back it up. So it sort of affected me in that way too, helped me out or psychology wise, why am I not being used more, So.
Go ahead, Craig.
on your wiki page, and we, you know, sometimes these are real, sometimes these aren't. it says in 96, when you were 10, you actually had a match with the WWF.
Yeah, that is correct. Well, you know, Wikipedia is a nerd's opinion represented as true.
Right.
that is true. Actually, in October of 1996, when I moved back up to Calgary from Florida, my dad, we moved back up to Calgary after my cousin Matthew had unfortunately passed away. We did there was a WWF event at the time, October 1996 at the Saddle Dome. Myself and my cousin Ted Hart, we wrestled against T.J. Wilson, known as Tyson Kidd, and Andrew Pekarnik. Uh-huh. And it was an opening contest, and it was nice. You know, a lot of the guys, actually Shawn Michaels and a couple other wrestlers, actually donated their payoffs that night to the Children's Hospital, where my cousin Matthew had been really sick, you know, and he had passed away. So they donated their money to charity that night. You know, my dad, a bunch of other guys, I think Bart Gunn and the Godwins and Shawn Michaels, I remember he did for sure. So it was nice. But, yes, that is true. So I guess I'd be the youngest person ever or youngest kid ever to have a match a professional match in WWE.
10 years old, taking bumps in front of people.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, taking bumps
awesome.
In front of people. Yeah, that's right.
Amazing.
Oh, I was so nervous. I remember that, yeah.
and now, Harry, probably would be your biggest highlight in the WWE would be, or the biggest thing you're involved in would probably be the WrestleMania in Arizona with the Bret versus Vince match. And that was probably, you know, you're probably at your highest at the time. Can you talk about that experience in that time and, you know, how your feelings were for the company at that time?
Yeah, sure. I remember right before that, I wanted to quit. we were myself and Tyson Kidd were in the win-loss battle against Crime Time every single week on SmackDown. I think that the fans were as sick of it as both teams of, you know, myself and Crime Time, because there's no other tag teams to wrestle in. There was just nothing. It was just another match to put on there. It was like, oh, we'll win this week, and the next week we'll lose, and then they'll win this week, and next week after that we'll win, and then they'll lose, and you know. So, John Laurinaitis said my contract was coming up right before that, like 6 months before then, and he actually had offered me more money for a contract, and I told him I kind of declined and said no thank you if this was as good as it was going to get in WWE. And then luck be have it, you know, that all happened at WrestleMania, and I did end up re-signing shortly after, you know, 3-4 months after that. But no, that was it was a highlight. It was a great moment, you know, WrestleMania moment that myself and Tyson Kidd got to have. Doesn't get any better than watching your boss's head get slammed against the mat on the outside and at WrestleMania. So, no, it was good. It was very frustrating leading up to that point, though. And then after that, and, you know, the good rub from Bret, you know, we had a great tag team title run. So, bit sort of good and bad, bittersweet.
And it must have been fun just to have the entire family out there all together.
Yeah, it was fun. They were all a little crazy, but hey, you know, that's the Hart family. I'm a little crazy myself too, but no, it was fun. It was a great induction for my grandfather Stu in the Hall of Fame as well. So yeah, definitely a great weekend.
Now you're not the only grandson of Stu Hart to get into wrestling, and there's, you know, of course an Italian. And Teddy, and I was wondering, I'm sure you guys probably argue about this all the time, but who do you think is the best one out of the three, or who is the best one out of the three?
Out of who? Me, Natalia, and Ted?
Yeah.
Well, of course, Natalia. I mean, she's been running roughshod on Raw with Beth Phoenix, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just kidding. You know, I think we're all, Natalia's great. She's one of the most powerful divas and great, you know, such an athletic female wrestler. And I think that we're all good in our own separate ways. You know, Teddy's got you know, I mean, he's just naturally raw talent. I mean, you could give him a basketball and he'd run and go up and dunk it just without even practicing. Great natural athlete, great high flyer, and myself, I'm more of a power wrestler, and you know, possibly mixed martial arts might actually be turn out to be a better career for myself. So I think that we're all different, and we're all have our strengths and weaknesses in different areas. But I couldn't really tell you who's the best out of the three of us. You know, it'd be kind of hard to weigh it out.
Now, speaking of Teddy, you know, Teddy's been a kind of a controversial figure over the years. And why, in your opinion, do you think he's actually never actually made it to? He's been in the developmental a couple times, but he's just actually never made it to the main roster. I was like, what do you think is keeping Teddy from getting there?
Well, you know, there was a number of different things. I think when he was first there, when he was like, he was really young when he first got signed, like in 1998 or whatever it was, he was like 18 years old, I think. And I think he was really, really young, and he probably admitted that he was immature at the time. And, you know, they, you know, took his contract away and sent him back up to Calgary or whatever. And then years later, when we were going to restart the new Hart Foundation in the FCW or whatever, they really wanted me, Teddy, and Natalia to all do it. And they were going to try to bring TJ up later, but I thought he should be, you know, with us all along. But anyway, and then the complaint about him was that he did too many high-flying moves and he couldn't follow direction. And that's a big thing with WWE. I mean, you have to be able to, I mean, whether you like it or not, or, you know, you have to be able to follow their direction, what they want. You know, it's you sign the contract, you're, you know, sort of not a slave to them, but you sign the contract, you got to follow orders and stuff like that. So, and I think that that's just the way that Ted's personality is, that, you know, he's kind of a free spirit and stuff like that. So that's basically it there. Whether the doors will be open for him to come back or not, you know, probably. He is talent, you know, so I guess that would explain that.
Go ahead, Craig.
With your WWE run,
yep.
In your opinion, is there anything that you could have done differently to stay there, or is there anything you would do different now, looking back?
No. No, actually, I can't say. I, you know, it's one of those things where actually, at the end, I didn't even want to stay there. Was just, there was nothing going on, and they seemed content on, you know, not doing anything with me. It was almost kind of like I had tapped out and they had tapped out, you know. And
right.
I think that in their eyes, they kind of saw it as giving me my release, because I know that they, you know, read the sheets and stuff and found out I was doing mixed martial arts and, you know, training under Billy Robinson and guys like that. And they probably figured that they were going to, you know, unclip my wings and just sort of set me free. And, you know, they left the doors open for me to come back, which is great. So, you know, it was just one of those things where I didn't have anything for them really. And they didn't have anything for me. So, you know, it was a kind of a good mutual, release, I suppose. You know, and I have no regrets with signing there either. You know, at the time I was doing New Japan tours, and, they were going through a huge, like, turnaround in the office up there. And they had fired Tokyo Joe, who was the main scout for who was sending us to New Japan. And then that kind of, you know, got rid of our, you know, connection over there. And I went over to England, and I sort of saw whatever I needed to see. And, you know, maybe I could have given TNA a try before, you know, but I didn't. It just seemed like WWE, there was a land of opportunity, and they were really, really high on hiring me, and they thought, you know, that I would be a big, huge star for them. And, but, you know, things didn't really work out. That was basically on their fault, because whoever they want to push or whoever they want to make a star, they're going to make a star, and they'll stop at nothing to do it. So, you know, that's kind of all on them, really. And, but, you know, that's not to say I can't go back there someday, But at this point, I don't really, you know, I'm sure in years will pass and maybe I'll go back there. But right now, there's just no interest. There's no, it's not even no interest in going back because I wanted to do mixed martial arts. I wanted to, you know, bring catch wrestling, you know, make it really popular and, you know, show that not just jiu-jitsu is the only grappling art out there, you know, catch wrestling. And Billy Robinson and Carl Gotch are two of my idols. And Billy has a lot of faith in me that I can carry the torch for catch wrestling. So there was a lot of other interests and things I wanted to do out there. So, you know.
Harry, why don't you go ahead and explain a little bit about what catch wrestling is as opposed to jiu-jitsu or other things. I think people hear that term and they think, oh, you know, high school wrestling, freestyle wrestling. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about actual catch.
Yeah, for sure. And just before I start, too, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is a great martial art. And I'm learning it now because you have to learn it for mixed martial arts because there's, you know, deadly, deadly Jiu-Jitsu guys out there with excellent skills. So, first off, I would never, ever insult Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. But, no, catch wrestling is different from Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu or Judo in the way that there's a lot more leg submissions. It's a lot more of a rougher style of submissions, and the true catch wrestling takedowns and stuff are a lot different than the freestyle and Greco-Roman takedowns that you see nowadays, and in the way that they don't use a lot of power. It's a lot more technique, and it's one of those things where it's not just grabbing a hold of an ankle and grabbing it and ripping it and, you know, putting a guy into a toehold. It's not just that, but it's teasing the guy into, you know, doing little certain things, and he puts his, you know, he goes to reverse, and then from that reversal, you switch your body into another position, and then, you know, it's almost like when you wrestle and grapple with a guy, he's thinking he's reversing out of everything, but actually he's just digging himself into a hole pretty much. You know, it's kind of like, and it's not necessarily a one-way street. You know, you do something to an opponent. It's based on his reaction, you know what I mean? And teasing a guy into a submission hold and, you know, tricking him into, and there's a lot of great, great things. Like where the opponent goes to sink their hooks in and double wrist locking or, you know, doing the Kimura from underneath the guy or, you know, taking a shin and doing a shin lock from underneath. Although I think that going for the double wrist lock from underneath is better or more a high percentage, but a lot more neck cranks are involved in it. A lot more, it's a lot more for the, standing wrestling than, you know, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is more on the ground where it's kind of a combination, you know, standing wrestling, submissions on the ground and on top and then from underneath as well. And when you got a good wrestler that can, you know, hook a guy from underneath, you got a dangerous bastard there, like Carl Gotch would say.
Now, you mentioned Billy Robinson, and he did an interview for WrestlingObserver.com where he put you over, like, big, big, big time.
Oh, yeah, did he?
Yeah. He was saying, like, he could probably have you, like, I can't remember exactly what he said, but he basically said he just needed... He didn't need that much time, or you didn't need that much time with training MMA if you decided to go into it to be like top level.
Yeah. Oh well, that's great. He said that. No, you know, Billy's great. You know, I call my Uncle Billy, but even though he's not my uncle, but no, he's I'm sure you know Viggity. I have a great natural strength for wrestling and good grip strength and good natural tendon ligament strength for wrestling, and that was something that Billy was high on, and I guess sort of my higher IQ of understanding submission holds or understanding wrestling, and you know, like we were talking about, you know, based on your opponent's reaction, what to do and how to get him into trouble where he's just winding himself into bad, or, you know, from bad to worse, you know, from hopping from the boiling water into the fire, literally. So, you know,
yeah, that's
Billy,
exactly what catch is all about, man. And
yeah.
when I roll with Harry, I mean, you guys can't understand, this fucker put some pain on you, and it's catch is, you know, jiu-jitsu is like a finish, you know, jiu-jitsu is an armbar finish, but this catch is just like, it's a he'll just put some pain on your shin bone, and that you're not going to submit from that, but you're going to move and you're going to give up something even worse. So it's about putting it's a real rough style, and Harry's great at it, and he's just what I say cock strong, meaning like just got that people strength where he'll just throw you around, and he masturbates a whole lot. So you know, grip strength.
That's how I have that good right hand grip strength.
Right.
That's great that Billy praised me like that. I hope I can do him proud. And like I said, that was kind of a main goal of mine, was to be able to be the guy to carry the torch for catch wrestling in years to come. Because, unfortunately, Billy's really old, and I don't think he's going to be around I hope he'll be around for years to come, but I'm not exactly sure, with his health and everything. So, I'm looking forward to being the guy, myself, Josh Barnett, and others that Billy's training along the way right now to carry on the torch for catch wrestling.
We have a question for one of our European listeners, and he's mentioning, or he wants us to ask you about, I think you took a trip to meet the Dynamite Kid a year ago or so.
Yep.
Yeah, he wants to know about how that went and how the Dynamite Kid is doing.
Oh, yeah, it was a good meeting. I got to meet him while I was over there for actually almost a year ago exactly, with the WWE tour over in Europe. And his daughter Bronwyn was visiting at the time, and she had set it up for me to come over. And, Dynamite, he was still pretty sharp mentally. We had a few Foster's beers, and Bronwyn had brought over some of his matches from Japan, from like the, him and Davey versus the Malenko brothers, and versus the Can-Am Express, and versus, Stan Hansen and Terry Gordy, and a number of other matches that he had actually not seen since he had, actually done them. And he was watching some of the matches, and he hadn't seen them since, he performed them live, and he watched it and go, finish is coming up here. Good one. So he remembered everything quite, just like that. So he remembered everything quite clearly. His health wasn't exactly, too good, unfortunately. And I'm sure that's, pretty common knowledge out there. I didn't get a chance to see his foot. He had socks on, but I know one of his toes was amputated or something from gout or something. But, he was cool, though. He wasn't bitter at all. We had a good talk about wrestling. I asked him about Japan and WWF and, Billy Robinson and Carl Gotch and a number of other, shooters and stuff like that. So that was it was a good meeting. I wanted to see him if I was over there this year again, but I might be over there next year for, a number of different English promotions or whatever. And hope to get to see him soon.
Now, speaking of indie promotions, I think you have a couple appearances in Canada, actually working for Lance Storm.
Yeah, that's coming up this week. I believe it's the 18th and 19th coming up here of November. I'm actually leaving on Sunday to go up to California to train with Josh Barnett and Eric Hammer and Eric Paulson up in Fullerton, California. For a few days before going up doing the PWA shows in Edmonton and Calgary. There hasn't been an opponent named for me yet, but, who knows, maybe Lance Storm.
Well, I hear you hearing the crazy. He's a regular a guest on our show, and he comes on quite a bit. He's a. From what I hear, he's wackier than Vince Russo. So you might be wrestling Archie Goldie on a pole match or something.
Yeah. I've been enjoying doing these independent wrestling shows. I think that in the new year things are going to slow down a little bit with them, which isn't exactly a bad thing because the training for mixed martial arts will need to. Not necessarily take a little bit of a step back where maybe I'm doing two weekends a month instead of, every single weekend going away doing shows and stuff like that. So that, that's not necessarily a bad thing. I like to do them. I like to see, old friends and go out there and wrestle and, be on my own schedule and sort of be able to do whatever I want to do out there, you know, not have to worry about time limits or not doing this move or that move or if it's this guy's top move or whatever, you know. So, yeah, you know, I've been enjoying it. But, you know, I think in the new year things will start to slow down and I'll be taking less bookings, you know, just to train more with mixed martial arts. But, you know, just pulling it back a little bit, so.
And now speaking of training, I'm sure like a lot of people remember the documentary where Stu's basically fetching some younger guys and he's not in the best of health. And, was he still doing that like in his last few years? Was he like, what was the last time Stu stretched you?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that was for this Wrestling with Shadows. He showed up on there with stretching Carl LeDuc, and he was screaming. Yeah. No, he was, as far as I know, before he had torn, he came up to watch a WCW show. I think it was a Slamboree. And when he was walking down to the ring, he tripped on something, and he tore his ACL and did a bunch of other nasty things to his knee. Yeah, and he was in his 70s, and after that, you know, his knee was never really the same, and then knee problems led to him getting a hunch and a bad hip. And so after that, you know, I think it was like 93. But before then, you know, he would get on the mat pretty regularly and stretch guys as far as I knew. I could watch it. I remember when I was really, really young, him getting on the mat still and stretching guys. But after that, you know, he would sort of do it standing, or he would only do it if there was a big audience around or someone wanted to film, because it was harder and harder for him to, you know, physically get down on the ground and do stuff like that because of his health.
I did some indie wrestling for a couple of years, and I've been in indie locker rooms and seeing all the strange and wacky characters, and that was your family, man.
Yeah.
I just, crazy, that's it? Crazy. Yeah. It boggles my mind, but, man, you've seen everything from birth. That's nuts.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, like there would just be these, you know, and Stu was a great guy too, you know, there'd be sometimes these weird guys that would just show up and, maybe kind of doing help around the house or something, or, you know, doing a paint job outside or, you know, whatever. And all of a sudden they're just living there and they're going to the Sunday dinners and everything. And, you know, nobody really questioned it or anything. You know, some of them were pretty cool. Some of them were pretty strange cats. Some of them I still keep in touch with today. There was a cool guy named Brent Chisholm that used to stay at my grandpa's house. He's a limo driver. So he drives me in the limo whenever I come up to Calgary to visit, and I feel like a superstar.
Right.
But, yeah, no, lots and lots of characters. Oh, yeah. And some really strange guys that came through to try out for the wrestling camp there.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, you could make just a book on all these weird characters that showed up. And yeah, too many to mention. I mean, gosh, yeah. Wow.
And speaking of weird characters, I haven't talked to Tyson Kidd in a minute. How's he doing? I haven't seen him on the WWE programming, although I'm currently boycotting it. What's up with him? Are you guys still doing the Hart Dynasty thing, you know, going outside and
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we're still boys, you know. We're still great friends. You know what? I think that they might have just gotten back from Europe, I want to say.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, so I haven't spoken to him since they got back. I know those European tours, when you come back for a couple of days, you're just sloshed and you're just bedridden, sleeping, you know, trying to get your sleep schedule back, you know, long tours. No, you know, I don't know, because like yourself, Figgity, I have no idea because I don't watch the program at all. Absolutely no interest, but I don't know. I don't know why he's not on Raw or SmackDown, because he's a SmackDown talent as far as I can remember. But no, he's a great talent. It's too bad that they're not utilizing him more. You know, can't really say anything else. Can't say anything bad about him in the ring. He's a world-class professional. Makes anybody in there look good, you know, has awesome matches.
Nope.
But I guess that doesn't matter in the WWE.
And he made Hornswoggle look awesome in that one World Rumble last year.
Oh, did he?
He took an F5 from Hornswoggle, and I mean the bump he took for him was just was awesome.
Phenomenal.
I mean, yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no, he's great.
Yeah.
And you know I got a strange sense of humor, but I tell you Tyson Kidd blows mine out of the water.
He's fucking hilarious. Yeah.
Sarcastic too. He's funny.
Now, as you know, I have a bit of a gambling problem. Can you give me any tips on the Velasquez Los Santos heavyweight fight? You're going to be watching that. Who should pick?
Of course I'm going to be watching it. You know, I'm going to have to go with Velasquez on that.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, the guy, he's he doesn't leave any windows open. You know, no gaps out there for guys. He clearly has a good, strong chin. I mean, heart of a lion, excellent condition. I mean, Dos Santos he seems like he's getting better and better every single fight, and he's, you know, could be in the prime of his career right now. But not to take anything away from Dos Santos, that's just my pick is Velasquez on that.
So,
great about the
$500 is a good bet. $500,
maybe 500 yen.
Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, I was just gonna say the only worry I have about Carwin Velasquez is his been long layoff. Been off
with the shoulder,
13 months. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only
true. That could be
only
that
thing
could,
I,
that could set him back, yeah. No, that's definitely true. But I'm really excited to see it.
And why they're not putting on the Henderson Guida match, I have no idea, but I am so stoked to sit in front of my computer and watch that on Facebook tomorrow.
Yeah, right.
That's going to be a tremendous match. I'm so looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Now who are your favorites right now in the UFC?
Well, I mean, of course, Cain Velasquez. Brock is always fun to watch. George St. Pierre is always good. Those guys, let me see who else. There was that, what was his name? The Greek guy, Stratilopoulos or something. What was his name? Excellent.
Stratilopoulos.
Very high on him from what I've seen. Frank Mir, I think when he's on his game, he's good too. It seems like he has good and bad days or in shape or not in shape. But I'm a fan of his as well, so I'd say those guys. You know, I think Nogueira can still go in there, and I mean that last fight he was in was really impressive, and he come up back from a hip surgery or something.
He was injured. I'm not actually sure where, but yeah, he looked fantastic. I mean, he just destroyed Schwab.
Yeah, no, he looked great. You know, so Chael Sonnen and some of these other Chuck Congo, I think, is great too. There's a lot. I'm mostly a fan of the heavyweight guys, just, you know,
mm-hmm.
myself being a heavyweight. But, you know, all those guys are good. They're really awesome. Also, of course, Josh Barnett, but, you know, unfortunately, he's not in the UFCs and, you know, Strikeforce.
Well, right,
and
but what's your take on him versus Cormier? I told you my take. I told you he has to lose because it was just destiny that somebody not in the tournament was going to win the tournament.
Right.
But what's your take on the Barnett?
Yeah, I remember when you told me that. I'm taking Barnett on that. I'm taking a submission probably in the later rounds, maybe second or third. Like, you know, Cormier's going to give him a good spat. I mean, obviously an excellent, excellent wrestler in his own right, but I think Josh is going to take that. And Josh is one of those guys. Billy Robinson said this about Josh. He said Josh is one of those guys that if he goes into a street fight not knowing anything or not having any mixed martial arts skills, he's still going to be dangerous because he's going to find a way to win. And he has the will to win. And he's I think he's just too good with his catch submission wrestling right now. The way you know, the way how he uses it in mixed martial arts is perfect. And he's a heavy rider. I mean, when he gets on top, he's like a wet blanket. And like I said, he's got the will to win. Overall, great fighter, but I think he's going to take him.
Now, Terry, one of my last questions is, one of the favorite things I ever saw you did was it actually even on WWE TV? It was for, you just happened to be at a gym and just happened to run into Hulk Hogan.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was doing tricep extensions, and I ran it. I was living in Calgary at the time, but it was magically in Miami, I think it was, at some random gym doing tricep extensions, and the Hulkster came up to me. Yeah, yeah, that was funny. Yeah, man, it was fun. I mean, whatever. I got called, like, the morning before that, like, really early, and they got me on a flight, like, within 2 hours. John Laurinaitis actually called me and said Hulk was looking for a young wrestler to be Brooks' date for a show, and I had just been signed, and they threw my name out there, and he said, sure. So, I went out and did it. It was all kind of scripted. I was just kind of an in and out kind of character, but you know, it was fun. Yeah. I mean, I love, you know, the Hulkster's great, man. Big boot, leg drop, 1, 2, 3. I'm a big fan of the Hulkster. You know, just his growing up as a kid and stuff like that. Love the Hulkster, but it was fine. It was whatever.
Cool. Craig, did you have any last questions before we let Harry go?
Yeah. This kind of, it might be a sentimental question to you. Do you have anything of your dad's that you keep to remember him by?
Yeah. I have all of his, I have some of his wrestling gear that I was able to get a hold of after he had passed away. I don't know what happened to a lot of his other stuff, unfortunately. I keep it all. It's, you know, safe storage. We let WWE use it, some of the stuff for their Hall of Fame thing or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave it back to me. I lent it to them, and they ended up keeping it in safe hands for them. When I got fired, I asked for it back, and they sent it back, and there was a picture smashed and stuff and some stuff missing. And then they finally sent me all the stuff, but it is pretty important stuff. I mean, there's no price on that. But I keep it all, and always good to look back on it and good memories and stuff like that. There's a Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame with Tony Villano up in Amsterdam, New York. And he asked for me to try to donate something, but I haven't gotten around to it. But I don't know. I would like to donate something to their Hall of Fame, because I think Tony's what he's doing up there in Amsterdam is a really great Hall of Fame, and just the history of wrestling and all the artifacts and everything he's got up there is great. So, but I like to keep most of it, you know. No price on that stuff, you know.
Now, Harry, we actually have a third co-host that wasn't able to make the show for the most part because he was running late from work, but he actually just popped on the line, so I want to at least get him to get one question in. So, Katrina,
sure.
Do you have any questions for Harry before you let him go?
For who?
You're out. You're fired.
I'm kidding. Do you have a good Owen Hart story before you go?
Good Owen Hart story. A funny story my dad used to tell me was that they would do, when they were over, I think they were overseas somewhere, like in Kuwait or somewhere like that. It was a big, long WWF tour, and they were just long and bored. And they would do a thing where Owen would tell Lex Luger to try to give him a press slam. So Lex Luger would go to press Owen Hart up for the press slam, and Owen would cling onto underneath his triceps and like sort of scissor his legs so Lex couldn't push him up. And then he would try to struggle, and then he just sort of, it almost looked like a sort of a modified body slam, like he wasn't strong enough to pick him up. And then Davey would say, "Hey, tag me in, Lex, tag me in." And he'd tag him in, and then Davey would shoot Owen off the rope. So he'd pick him up for the press slam, and then he'd do about, like, something ridiculous, like 10 over-the-head military presses with Owen above him, and then he'd slam him down and flex right in front of Lex Luger's face to give him a face or whatever. And Lex just – it was just every single night they would pull stuff like that on him. I remember when he came back home from that trip, he had a number of stories that they were doing over there, which was funny. But that's always the one that comes to mind.
Harry, my last question would be, would be the best advice your father ever gave you?
Well, you know, always give it 110%. You know, of course, he showed me a lot of the ring, but always make sure you're got a reputable teacher, and always make sure you trust your opponent that you're in there, because that's your dance partner. And that, you know, give it 110%, and you know, sky's the limit.
Cool.
It was great of you to come on. I know you know it's Friday night in Tampa, and you got a lot of things. You probably just got done training and want to go get some food in you. So go get it, man. Go bulk up and keep staying strong for us.
Hell yeah, bulk up and Hulk up, right?
Thanks so much, Harry.
All right, thanks, guys. It was a pleasure.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
See ya. Take care.
Bye.
So, well, that went very well. The only drawback is having to listen to Peach's muffling in the background for a lot of the
interview. Are you moving furniture right now? What is going on
right
there?
Christmas present.
What the fuck are you talking about? I'm sitting completely still.
I thought you were building a house.
Somehow you made plenty of background noise.
Are you serious? I'm not doing anything.
I could have swore you were moving a dresser. Seriously.
Really? Oh, that's weird. All I'm doing is looking at bets, and I just put a lot of money on on Velasquez. So
that might be a good bet.
Well, listen, you fuckers, I got to go anyway. It's 1:00, and I'm meeting my wife out for lunch. So
it's been a pleasure.
I will let you go. Yeah. Well, it's I can't believe I'm married. So
it's actually more like boss than wife.
So funny. Yeah. Yours is called a fleshlight.
Yeah.
Ooh.
All right, fuckers.
I got one of those.
Oh, I have one too. They're great. All right, assholes. I'll let you go. Thanks for letting me come
and
talk to Harry. So peace out, guys.
We'll talk to you later, man.
Don't drink the Kool-Aid in Guyana or wherever you live in.
All right.
All right. Hold on, dude. Bye-bye.
Later.
Yeah, that's fucking weird. But he sounded much better than last time he was on the show. But,
good.
Oh, well. I guess let's price to pay to get a good interview.
Like 3 weeks ago, I contacted Harry and I was like, "Hey, Harry, blah 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 blah." Give him the spiel, you know, like I always do. And he texted me, he didn't text me. He messaged me back and said, "Let me think about it." And then this week, when you said, "I've got a guest," like the first one in like 3 years, or 2 years. How long have I been on the show? And he's like, "I got Harry Smith." I'm like, "You suck." I wanted to pull that one down.
I've got plenty of guests on the show. That's right.
Okay. All right. That's
some
Peach that.
Always comes along with some of these ideas.
I don't know. Just something that happens. Coincidence, I guess. I don't know. I'm the one that scored the guest and not Peach. But do we have, like, news for the week?
I didn't get any news from the week.
I did send some news for the week.
Did you send me some?
Yes, it should be in your email.
Okay, let me go to that right now.
I'm professional.
This show has been a little bit of a train wreck, or at least it sounded like a train wreck when Peach was in the background. Good Lord.
Hopefully Stevie can get rid of some of that on the download.
I'm serious. I was sitting here thinking, he's got to be moving furniture right now across the hardwood floor.
Well, at least it wasn't throughout the whole thing. It was just come and go here and there. But anyway, what's going on with you, Couture?
Oh, not too much. I just got home from work.
thing a little bit late.
Cool.
Yeah, a little bit late. It's like 9 o'clock here.
Well, I came in like about halfway through, but I didn't want to jump in, like get on the line right in the middle of the interview and stuff like that. I just waited until the end.
Right.
Plus, I didn't know what had been asked or what hadn't been asked, and so I didn't want
to. I know, that's why I went ahead and took a question, because I wanted to make you look stupid and ask something we already talked about.
There's a bunch of stuff I wanted to ask him, but I didn't want to, you know. I mean, he got popped for, you know, the same thing Barnett's been popped for, and it just wasn't in good taste, you know what I mean? So just kind of let it go.
Yeah, well, that's usually why when Pete was on the show, I usually would let him ask the third question.
Right. Because, you know, they can do that. Okay, we have got a bunch of wrestlers that are
almost
in bad ways. Good night. Where should we start? Killer Carl Cox. How about we start there? And I have not proofread any of these or, you know, read them over, so please excuse my...
Well, you read
my,
them this week in The Observer, so you're just reading the same thing over again.
No, I didn't. But, yeah. Herb Gerwin, better known as Killer Carl Cox, try saying that one three times. Did he wear a sheet to the ring? A headliner in the 60s and 70s passed away this morning at the age of 80. Of course, this was a while back. Gerwin suffered a massive heart attack on October 20th and had a second heart attack, which was fatal this morning while he was hospitalized. Of course, this is not this morning. It was a few days ago. Besides being a headliner in a number of U.S. territories, he was on one of the top villains during the heyday of pro wrestling in Australia and was considered one of the best ring psychologists and in-ring teachers of the modern era.
That's sad, because it sounded like he was doing better. At first they were very worried about him because he was asleep for a very long time, but then when he woke up, it seemed like he was doing better, but unfortunately not. The only bright side, if there's any bright side, is that, you know, at least he was an older man who lived a long life, and not, so at least we're not reading this about Barry Windham today, you know, instead.
Yeah.
Kamala, James Harris, a.k.a. Kamala, who headlined in Memphis and for the WWE, as well as having runs in just about every promotion you can think of over the last several decades, had to have his foot amputated earlier this week due to complications from diabetes and high blood pressure. That sucks.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's his career.
Yeah. Unfortunately,
yeah,
we saw him
work in Houston 2 years ago. I mean, it didn't really work, but
well,
3 years ago.
Two and a half years ago, I guess, basically. But
didn't the last big match I heard about him, didn't he have, like, a match with Bryan Danielson or something? You know,
he did. Yeah, I haven't seen it. If someone's listening, if you have it, please send it to me. But, he did have a match with Bryan Danielson. And we watched
like matter and antimatter colliding.
Right? I mean, it sounds so absurd. But we saw him wrestle...
From Twilight Zone.
Mm-hmm. Right? Who did we say? Oh, he was supposed to wrestle Bobby Dempsey. He turned on,
yes.
What's his name? Yeah. And then, like, he kind of helped Bobby Dempsey. But,
he's a truck driver, too. I would think that's what he's been doing for the last few years.
Oh,
man. You know, different little wrestling appearances and stuff.
Speaking of that, I saw on my, you know, Facebook page the other day, Butch Williams, you know, Bushwhacker Luke, we just had him on the show a few weeks ago. He got his license to drive as a substitute school bus driver. Can you imagine if Bushwhacker Luke or Bushwhacker Butch drove up and got you on the bus?
That'd be like the greatest thing if that would have happened when I was a kid.
Right?
You kind of scare them poor kids.
But
anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to throw it off the train.
But going back to Kamala, I mean, I got to see Kamala back. Kamala's kind of weird because there's a few year period, more than a few years, where Kamala was just really a bad, scary person in wrestling. And then it hit a certain point where Kamala was just a kind of, I don't want to joke, but a comedy act. And I got to see a lot of Kamala in world class when, you know, I remember he came in and his first match was against Jose Lothario, who was, you know, older at the time, but he was still like, you know, right the sub-main eventer and still did real good. And basically he just got squashed and I just was like, holy shit. And then I just remember he never sold until like he wrestled like David Von Erich and David got the claw on him. But I mean, he was awesome, and I've seen a lot of his stuff in Memphis where he would wrestle the King. And I mean, he was awesome. And the funniest thing that I've had this conversation with 50 to 100 people since I was a kid until even if I start talking about the old times now, and that is, well, everybody knows that that video that they filmed with Kamala, and he's got the mask on and the spear, and it's like in the country, and they filmed it at Jerry Jarrett's house. Everyone knows that. But I swear to God, I don't know how many people told me that, oh, they filmed that off of 410 out by on the west side of town by 410. It's like everyone thinks that they filmed it here in San Antonio, and I like I say, it's been like over 50 people that I've had this conversation with. It's I think wherever town you're from in Texas or whatever, you just assume, or Tennessee, you just assume that that was off of somewhere out off of your town. But anyway, go ahead and continue.
An update on Barry Windham. Blackjack Mulligan was interviewed by Mike Mooneyham of the Post and Courier regarding the health of his son, Barry Windham. Mulligan noted that when he found Windham, he was found by his family. He could not move his left arm, left or right arm. His knee was dislocated and the size of a cantaloupe. He was also unable to respond to questions being asked to him. Mulligan noted that his son's right foot, which was turned 45 degrees at a 45 degree angle and spun inside the femur. That's gross. That he had a knot on the back of his head and also suffered elbow injuries and a broken right wrist after the fall from his heart attack. Mulligan said that there was minimal damage to Windham's heart based on examinations, but there was still damage from a potential stroke that he also suffered, and the extent of that is not clear yet. WWE has picked up all the medical costs for Windham's recovery, according to Mulligan, who stated that it was the call that Triple H made. Initially, Windham had been sent to a nursing home, which was what Mulligan could afford, but the WWE stepped in so he could be sent to a rehabilitation facility. Mulligan said Windham will need to learn to walk, talk, and feed himself again.
Damn, wow. That's terrible.
That's insane.
At least they're picking up the tab for it. So that's good.
Yeah, for all of WWE's false booking and Vince McMahon being a total idiot and burying Jim Ross, every so often they do good things.
Yeah. Actually, they do like a god-awful amount of good things. They just don't really, you know, people give them a hard time when they do these, you know, the anti-bullying or like, you remember when Linda was running, they were kind of pushing a few things, but the amount of stuff that they do, I mean, they don't publicize 90% of it. You know, so I think people should kind of give them a break when they do kind of, you know, make a video package for TV at certain points. But, you know, John Cena's done more Make-A-Wish wishes than any person alive. And it's not even close, you know, and that's just one person. I mean, think of all the other things they do. I mean, that's one thing that they don't get nowhere near the credit they amount, because they do this kind of stuff all the time that you don't hear about for, like, other wrestlers or stuff like that. You know, it's just, you know, it's just something that they do that they don't get the credit for.
Didn't they pay for Bam Bam Bigelow's funeral or something like that? Or one of, he had a couple of funerals or something, services, and I think they paid for one of them. I'm not sure.
Yeah, they do all kinds of stuff like that.
Yeah. There is a pay-per-view this weekend. Actually, there's a ton of pay-per-views this weekend. Not only is Chikara on this weekend on Go Fight Live. Please check that out. That's going to be a great show. We also have three Dragon Gate pay-per-views this weekend, but the big one is TNA Turning Point. Three. There's one tonight, there's one tomorrow, and there's one on Sunday.
Mother of God.
Wait, who's on tonight?
Yeah. There's a Dragon Gate
on
show
tonight,
on tonight.
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow and Sunday.
Wait, who's the pay-per-view tonight?
Dragon Gate.
Oh, okay. And tomorrow?
Yeah. There's Dragon Gate on again tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
And UFC is also on tomorrow. And then on Sunday, there's a Dragon Gate show, there's a Chikara show, and there's a TNA Turning Point pay-per-view. I will run down the card quickly. Bully Ray and Scott
Chikara,
Steiner versus Ken...
Oh, I was hoping for the Chikara card, because that would be the best show out of all of them.
Yeah, we don't have that in front of us. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we don't deal with insects.
I see.
Actually, I've seen those insects. Those insects are awesome.
Yes, they are very, very good. Go to YouTube and check out the insects versus the Briscoes. It's a phenomenal match. But getting back to the TNA pay-per-view, Bully Ray and Scott Steiner will be wrestling Ken Anderson and Abyss. Jeff Hardy will wrestle Jeff Jarrett in a Battle of the Jeffs. Matt Morgan versus Crimson, and Crimson's undefeated streak is on the line. How he has stayed undefeated, he is so bad in the ring.
He's always like a come-from-behind victory or something. It's just, I don't know. I don't know.
Here by the guy. I don't see what they see in him, and I don't think a lot of people do.
Yeah.
Rob Van Dam versus Christopher Daniels. The television championship match, Eric Rude versus Robbie E.
Eric Rude.
Did I say Eric Rude? Eric Young versus Robbie E. I apologize. I am tired. The X Division title match, Kid Cash versus Austin Aries versus Jesse Sorensen. Probably a show stealer there. The TNA World Tag Team title match, Ink Ink and Toxin. That's the new girl. Versus Mexican America and Sarita, and the belts are on the line in a six-person tag match. A TNA knockout title match, Velvet Sky versus Gail Kim. That will be no good.
That'll be the greatest goddamn match of all time.
Oh, shut up.
The two hottest women in wrestling having a match, it's going to be, I just might even have to buy the pay-per-view now just for this one match.
I need to write out a disclaimer every time you, go into one of your tirades, and I'll, while you're doing it, I'll just read, I'll read this, as you're going into one of your tirades or talking about inappropriate things, and it'll just say the opinions of Ed Laredo will not, they do not, reflect
the opinions
of
the
Contrera.
Other two people on the line.
Yeah. And and it'll end with a big "I'm sorry" or something like that. I will work on that next week. And then when you launch into one of your things, I can calmly read that in the background.
Well, can't help you. You guys don't like women. But yeah,
I can't think of a better threesome
than Gail Kim and Velvet Sky. I mean, oh my god.
It can't even spell like a one-letter word, right? I sent him a text earlier, and he always sends back K, but in this time he sent back L. He couldn't even get that one right.
No wonder he sent me back a second text. I was wondering what.
In the main event of the TNA World Heavyweight Title match, Bobby Roode versus AJ Styles. Hopefully that's going to happen, because AJ Styles busted up his ankle, something fierce. And if he goes this weekend, he's a bad mamma jamma.
Yeah, they'll probably put
sure
him there, put the belt back on him or something.
I'm sure he'll go. He just won't really do too much.
I doubt that.
If he goes, I bet you he goes.
The match has gotten with the 30-second build in the last minute of the show or something.
Unreal.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
TNA for the last like month has been firing on all cylinders and it's been pretty decent. And then to pull this the week before, like 3 days before your pay-per-view. Oh, by the way, in the main event of the show we want you to drop your money on, we're going to have Bobby Roode versus AJ Styles. Like literally in the last 5 minutes of their show. It's unreal.
Yeah, well, they don't know how to promote pay-per-views.
They just need to go back to 5 pay-per-views a year or something, because they clearly don't care about it.
Right.
They clearly don't want to be doing them.
Every other month, they should just, every other month, and WWE should cut back to like 8. They're just, people are tired, man. I'm tired of shelling out money for.
This last month or so just like killed me with all the pay-per-views. And we're like 3 WWF pay-per-views in like, it seems like a month or something.
Yeah, I got tired of it, and I was just telling Brian, hey, man, you gotta pony up. I'll go over to your house 1 month, and you come over to my house the next month. And it was getting ridiculous, you know, 3 pay-per-views in, like, 7 weeks or 8 weeks.
Or you could have been like me and watched the whole Kevin Nash pay-per-view debacle.
Oh, well. But going back to, the other companies doing pay-per-views, so for promotion, we had an awesome interview with an insect, and then we had an awesome interview with, I don't know what Crack's gimmick is, but whatever goofy gimmick it is, he was pretty awesome. And then, so what do we get? We get one apiece from them, and then we get 2 boring interviews from the other guy.
You really got to let this go.
I remember Mike Wackenbush and seeing him, like he was on some of those, in those after mags, like in the early 90s or something, like in the introducing thing. You know, one of those features that they had in those magazines. I remember him.
Mm-hmm. He's been around for quite a while.
I think maybe about 20 years at least, maybe. I don't know, maybe a little bit less.
He started up with RF Video and was doing RF Video thing, and they were real tight with ECW, and you know, he got his foot in the door just, you know, learning from Paul Lee, and
I know he's like he's older and he's kind of hurt, you know, banged up now, but I've seen him a few times and he actually is pretty awesome.
Who are we talking about now?
Mike Quackenbush.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, that stuff I just said about Mike Quackenbush, about him working with RF, that's not true. I was talking about Gabe Sapolsky.
Well, I was wondering if you were talking about
it. Yeah, that's...
That's it.
I'm going to hang up now.
Well, anyway, I like...
Can we move on? Let's move on to the next story. That was... And just... Stevie, erase like the last, you know, minute and a half of this. In other TNA news, TNA signed a developmental deal with Ohio Valley Wrestling. TNA has signed a developmental deal with Louisville, Kentucky's Ohio Valley Wrestling. TNA announced OVW would be the developmental and training facility for the promotion, with Bruce Pritchard working closely with OVW owner Danny Davis in the development of future TNA talents. While TNA has never had an official developmental territory, they have in the past subsidized some of its wrestling training to Team's 3D Wrestling Academy in Florida. Based on the statements issued to PWI Insider, TNA would be sending talent to OVW to train and hone their skills. Let's hope they send half the roster. OVW was the official developmental territory for the WWE from 2000 through 2008, helping to develop, among others, John Cena, Randy Orton, Brock Lesnar, and Batista.
You know, if TNA had actually had a good track record of making people stars, I would think this was a big deal.
Yeah.
But they don't have a very good one, so I don't know.
I'm just happy, you know, Danny Davis actually has a little more of a money stream now. You know what I mean? He's always had to he's kind of gotten screwed a few times over by WWE, you know, having to put his money up front or, you know, do things out of his own pocket. So if anything comes out, he's, you know, it's a little more, excuse me. Sorry, I got something in my throat here, but
yeah,
you know, like it's a money stream. It helps Ohio Valley. It makes sure Ohio Valley will help be here a little longer. It makes more variety, so people will want to go to Ohio Valley. And we keep getting a caller, and every time I'm seconds away from like getting ready to put him on, he keeps hanging up. So if you're listening, call back. You got one more chance, and then you're done. But go ahead and continue.
Maybe it's the jackass from the thread that said we couldn't interview David Hart Smith because we would never watch Superstars.
Hmm.
You know that's Rover, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. He's got more names than Bruce Beefcake.
I'm sure he'll be gone in a couple weeks. I remember when he got banned. He got banned was during the night of the convention because we were a bunch of us were kicking back at this one bar. And then here comes Brian and Whitney and Granny and a couple people, and they sat down. And one of the first things Brian brings up is that he had to, that Dave told him he had to ban Rover.
He does get out of control sometimes.
Yeah. I like it. Well, we got the caller back here, so I'm going to take him, give him a chance here. Caller calling from area code 708. Who's this?
Hi, it's Tyler from Chicago.
How's it going, Tyler?
Hi. Sorry about that. I was just because of the difference between the actual the play on the computer and the phone. Like, I don't know. I just got confused on, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Okay. Anyway, my call came a little late, but are you guys planning on ordering the Chikara pay-per-view on Sunday?
I have to work, so I'm going to miss it live. I might wait to the reviews and maybe order the replay.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I would love to sit down and watch it, but unfortunately, I have a birthday party to go to. So yeah, I will be seeing it. I'm excited to see it.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Yeah, I was just wondering because it looks like it's going to be a great show and. Yeah, just
absolutely.
Wanting more people to support Chikara because they're awesome, you know?
Yeah, definitely. They're very underrated. I wish they could get something going to
yeah,
put them
people,
more in the spotlight.
People just don't understand it's not all about matches. It's about characters. It's about having fun, and they're all about, you know, fun and entertainment
right.
and giving you your money worth. Okay, that's
yeah,
just all...
I was going to say, I wish they would come down to WrestleMania weekend. I don't know how I'd fit another show in, but I would make it happen.
Oh, that's totally what I thought earlier. I thought about that, yeah, too. Yeah, well, that's all I wanted to say. Sorry about those two calls I just got, you know, messed up with the lag between the computer and the phone. So, okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks
for
listening. Thank
you.
Okay.
Now
bye.
These independent promotions, you know, like ROH and like Chikara and stuff. I'm surprised nobody's like tried to, you know, like stream these or like a video game console or something before.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like get a deal with Xbox or like PlayStation or something.
Well, I know Chikara, they do like some of their webisodes and things like that on the channel Ustream. In fact, their 45-minute preview show will be streaming on ustream.com. Just go there and check out Chikara or type in Chikara in the search. I'm sure it'll come right up. But I know Adam Carolla's show streams live from there as well. It's a good idea. And I would imagine you can probably get anything you can play on Flash. You know, that's the one thing. Like with my PS3, I can't play Flash on there, so.
Yeah.
But, you know, if the technology comes along, you know, it's very easy for people to, I wouldn't say very easy, but it is more likely that you can, you know, actually have your own wrestling program.
Yeah, or, you know, try to maybe get some of these DVDs on Netflix or something like that.
Right.
Good idea.
I don't like
Ron. I just like watching stuff on my computer and just, I don't know.
Yeah. I hear you.
Yeah, I prefer not to, but, you know, I can actually, I'll do it. I don't procrastinate like Lance Storm does because it's on the computer. But if anyone could send me an illegal stream to the Dragon's Gate pay-per-view, that'd be awesome.
A legal stream? Oh, we said illegal.
Ed, let it go. Just let
anyway,
it go.
Continue. What's going on? What's more news here?
Well, we got to about 5 minutes left. Why don't you throw out the plugs, and I'll leave the last story for the last thing we talk about.
Okay, cool. Everyone check out angrymarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at angrymarks.com, along with a lot of other shows like the Angry Mark Show and quite a few other ones. So everyone check out angrymarks.com. And everyone check out, I don't even know if the site's still up. Everyone check out the teamviggity.com. That's where you can learn about all kinds of nutrition from the asshole that was on the show earlier today. Check out his site. You can also at iPad Boys follow Whitney's progress as she's
training.
She uses her training and her Viggity diet and her plans from there. So yeah, everyone check out that and go ahead and continue with the last subject.
And what's involved in this Team Viggity thing, because you know one of them got popped for drugs the other day.
Well, he didn't get popped for steroids. That's the thing.
It was more of a natural substance that he was popped for.
Actually, not really. He got
it was
he
a
got busted medical. For the synthetic.
I see. Yeah. I'm glad our friend here knows so much.
It is.
They said that stuff's dangerous. That spice or whatever.
Spice, yeah.
Like much more dangerous than marijuana.
Yeah, I smoked that shit. I smoked that shit one time. It gave me a fucking headache. I didn't like it at all.
Yeah. Mm, poor thing.
I was actually gonna buy some to take with me to Seattle because I had never been to Seattle, so I didn't know how the airport was there, so I didn't want to actually bring the real stuff. So
are
I was gonna buy some
me?
Of that, but then I smoked it. And I was like, yeah, fuck it. I'll just go without for a couple of days.
You're gonna get pinched one day.
Well, I don't carry it anymore.
Ride around in the car with smoking a joint, huh?
I don't drive around smoking.
Have you been in a car, been a passenger and been smoking dope in somebody's car?
Someone could smoke in the car before I'm even in the car, and then, you know, what's the difference?
I'm just saying, people, when you ride around, when you get that it's a very distinct smell. I mean, that's just like, you ought to put a license plate on your car that says, please pull me over, I'm doing drugs.
That's why I don't smoke in my car.
Like, looking at Rob Van Dam and Sabu, and they got pulled over.
Right.
They know what it is right when you open the window, you dumb shit.
I stopped doing that when I bought my new Jeep.
Or Evan Bourne and
Rick Shovel
and Dan Antonio. You had to get a new one, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, our last story. Our last story, independent wrestler on trial next week faces 120 years in prison for felonious assault. Andre P. Davis, an independent wrestler in Ohio, has been charged with felonious assault for having sexual relations with women without discussing his health status as HIV positive. He will go on trial next week. Davis is facing 15 counts of the charge and up to 120 years in prison. He is accused of having slept with four different individuals, rats, in Deerfield Township, Ohio, and 12 women in Hamilton County, Ohio. Authorities claim that Davis has known since 2009 that he was HIV positive, but chose not to tell the women that he has been involved with, even though he was having unprotected sex with them. Davis learned of his HIV status when undergoing blood testing for a WWE developmental deal. WWE rescinded the offer and after informing him of his status when the story first broke. Ohio area wrestler who had been working in matches with Davis were with blood was involved. Shoot, my computer's crap. went running to get their medical status checked up. Unbelievable.
Now,
does his blood test.
Well, not to condone anything that this dude did at all,
but you're going to.
Is it actually a law that says, hey, you're about to have sex, and you're like, hey, it is?
I'm pretty sure.
That's like attempted murder, ain't it? I mean,
reality, that's what it kind of is, but I mean, is there actually, I don't know, I'm actually asking a serious question. Is it actually?
Well, if there's no cure for this disease, then it is.
I would imagine that it's got to be.
I see it on SVU all the time. They go after people for doing that shit.
Lord. I guess. I've never actually heard of,
You know, I bet he doesn't end up serving all 120 years either. You watch.
Okay. Yeah, but that's actually crazy. That's kind of like the one hit. Well, it's kind of funny it's coming out now because you also got the one guy with the hepatitis.
Yeah.
And suing Abdullah and everything. I mean, heaven forbid Abdullah the Butcher gets diagnosed with HIV. Do you know how many people would be running to the doctors then?
Mm-hmm.
Lance Storm would have to.
God knew he was HIV positive, and I'd have been wrestling him in some blood baths or something. I'd go get myself tested, and then I'd take my shotgun over to his house. Have some words. Yeah. What you gonna do? But that's bad to me. You done killed me. Whatever. We got about Henry Godwin. Henry Godwin was in a bad wreck this week. Was that on the thing I sent you?
Ah, shoot. It was. My bad.
He's trying to take off the cheese. He wants to end the show, sir. I'm just kidding. But, he fucked himself up really good. Didn't he, go into a ditch or something?
My bad.
Mark Canterbury, who wrestled in both WCW and WWF in the 90s. Under the names Henry Godwin and Shanghai Pierce, is in intensive care after an auto accident that took place in West Virginia. Canterbury had both his spleen and appendix removed. As they were doing surgery, they found a tumor on his appendix and had to remove it. One of his legs was broken in three places, and both of his lungs were punctured. They had to use the jaws of life to get him out of his car, and he was rushed to the hospital by helicopter. Canterbury has started to communicate with his family by nodding his head, but isn't able to speak yet due to tubes from the ventilator helping him breathe. There's a story.
Thank you.
He got screwed pretty good. But I always thought he was Tex Lassinger. I thought Minion was a Shanghai Pierce. I speak very surprised
it was
the other way around.
Tex Lassinger was the one without the mask. So that was a Midian or Phineas.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I always thought it was. I always have it confused like this. But yeah, that's terrible. At least he's I guess he's hopefully will be okay. At least he's communicating at the very least. That's always a good sign. But yeah, he screwed himself up pretty bad.
Apparently, went off like an embankment or something.
Yeah, he
started.
He basically flew off a cliff, and it took rescuers almost an hour to find the car and get him out of it with the jaws of life. It's a pretty serious accident.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully he'll be okay.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. So we'll go ahead and wrap up. Craig, you got anything last thing you want to bring up before we go?
I am good. Everybody have a good weekend. I'm going to catch up on some sleep this weekend. Just saying.
Cool. And, Katrina, do you have anything you want to talk about before we go?
No, I'm fixing to watch another episode of Frasier.
Hmm.
Okay.
Very excited to see how this ends.
I would have a lot of things to say, but, I'm a professional, and I'm not going to cry and drop people
right.
and complain about
right.
shit like that. So we'll go ahead and
end the
show. We're going to come back next week. I don't know if we have anything planned, but we'll come up with something regardless.
Uh-huh.
Everybody, come back next week.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the matrix.
Let's go hook him up! Top my wife tonight.